The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Everybody, welcome to the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Joining us here in a minute is Eric Slokovitz from the Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. He's in charge of the artificial reef program, and we're going to talk about some cool stuff with the artificial reefs and fish habitat coming up. But I got a little housekeeping to do here from the last hour. I need to tell you about Merrick Backcountry for dogs whose taste buds are still wild. We had chunks of real freeze-dried raw meat to grain-free high-protein kibble made in the USA with no ingredients from China. Merrick Backcountry is the ancestral diet preferred by dogs who prefer the outdoors. Merrick Backcountry, they love the wild as much as you do. And the Maryland Fishing Challenge is a free year-round tournament hosted by the Maryland DNR Fisheries Service for everyone who's a recreational angler in Maryland. Eligible fish include all game fish from the Atlantic Ocean to the Chesapeake and west to the mountain streams and Deep Creek Lake, of course, including more than 67 species in five categories: freshwater, Chesapeake Bay, Atlantic Coast, catch and release, and even invasive species. There's also a youth division connected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing Club. You catch a fish of a notable specified size and you receive your official angler award certificate and an invitation to the grand finale in September, where you could win a Tracker Marine boat package, an exotic fishing vacation from the World Fishing Network, Costa gear, tackle packages from Bass Pro Shops, and Bill's Outdoor Center. There's collectible Under Armour Heat Gear t-shirts and even a share of $25,000 in cash prizes up for grabs. The fish are biting right now everywhere in Maryland. That's right. It's not the time to stay indoors. Go fish. Official rules online, dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries. And now joining us, Eric Slokovitz from Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. And good morning, Eric. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Alan. How you doing?
I'm doing great, buddy. Doing great. So,
doing all right. Been getting out fishing a little bit with the kids, and been fun. Sometimes we just do a short trip, you know, in the evening down at the local dock and go for perch and stuff like that. So
that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Good deal. Well, we're talking about the artificial reef program, and we've talked over the last couple of years in detail about the program and how it all got started, that type of thing. But you've got some new projects that you've been doing. I'm looking at like six different ones here since the last time we talked.
Yeah. We've had a nice flurry of activity here over the last several months with the artificial reef program, and I think the last time we spoke, I may have mentioned that we were working on a project at the Bill Burton Fishing Pier.
Yes.
So we actually, that was a two-year project with Chesapeake Bay Foundation, and we placed over 500 reef balls combined on the Talbot side and the Dorchester side. There's actually two charted fish reefs, one on each side of the river and alongside the fishing pier and fishing piers. And we laid out rows of reef balls on both sides of the channel in that fish reef. It's between the fishing pier and the Route 50 bridge.
Okay.
And it's the last 300 feet of the Dorchester side and the last 500 feet on the Talbot side. And we also have some volunteer fishermen from the MSSA Dorchester Fishing Club that are doing a fishing survey there and just seeing, you know, what kind of fishing success they're getting on those reef balls.
Well, there's no doubt that pier needed some help, that needed something.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, you could go out there and fish forever and catch, you know, a couple small perch or something like that. However, we did have, many years ago, did have a great evening off that pier, the old pier, as a matter of fact, you know, fishing for white perch and that type of thing this time of year. But, so, first you got to explain what a reef ball is.
Right. That's a good point. I was just thinking of that. So one way I explain it is that they sort of look like a small concrete igloo. So it's a hollow structure ranging from about 1 foot high to about 3 feet high. There's different sizes, and they range from about 2 feet wide to 4 feet wide. And they're dome-shaped and hollow with holes. They're made out of concrete, and they're made with a fiberglass mold, and there's holes all throughout the reef ball. They're open on the bottom, they're open on the top. They have some holes in the side so you can get current and water flowing through the reef ball so they don't get stagnant on the inside of the reef ball. And they weigh anywhere from, the smallest ones weigh about 50 pounds, and then the larger ones weigh about 200 pounds.
Okay.
If you're in an area with heavy current, you can place these 200-pound reef balls, and they're going to dig into the bottom a little bit, and they're not going to move.
Right.
And you can also, what we do with Chesapeake Bay Foundation is we preset the reef balls with oyster spat, place them in holding tanks with oyster spat. The spat settle on the reef balls, give it about 2 or 3 weeks. And then we use a crane to lift the reef balls out of the tanks, place them on the deployment boat, which is the Patricia Campbell with PDF, and then we deploy them, you know, on the reef site with spat already attached, and then they grow larger from that point.
So this is not just a chunk of concrete like some of the other artificial reefs on a reef ball. What you're telling me is that you've established a structure that already has life on it. When you place that on the bottom, you've got your oyster spat. Your oyster spat are going to grow and provide more structure. You're going to provide hiding places for all types of invertebrates and fish and everything else to attract even bigger game fish for the people to enjoy as recreational anglers.
Yep, that's exactly right. The oysters,
of course, the oysters work as filters.
Yeah, they work as filters, and they also provide little nooks and crannies.
Yeah,
and provide texture on the surface of these concrete reef balls, so it's not just smooth concrete. It's got texture. Over time, it almost starts to look more like, if you get a successful growth and other invertebrates, and you look at some of the pictures, it doesn't really look just like a round concrete structure. It starts to look almost like a natural reef, like a combination of rock and shell.
Sure.
And with a lot of texture and nooks and crannies and interstitial spacing, I think, is the technical term for all the 3D structure and the nooks and crannies for organisms to grow, and that attracts fish.
Of course.
So, yeah.
So
that was a good project, and, you know, with these reef balls, we also have them placed in Memorial Stadium Reef. We do that project every year, and Cook's Point Reef was another project near the mouth of the chop tank where we placed a little bit over 1,000 reef balls, actually. So there's a few projects out there with that type of structure.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now tell me where that was, where you put the 1,000.
The 1,000. Was at Cook's Point, which is an 8-acre box. We started at 2 acres, and then we added additional space. It's an 8-acre square-shaped box at the mouth of the Chop Tank River at Cook's Point.
Right, right, sure.
And that's another project, an older project with Chesapeake Bay Foundation, but a grad student from the University of Maryland, working under Dr. Elizabeth North has done some diving and other studies out there to examine the oyster growth over the last few years.
Right.
And we'll be presenting some results in August, actually, and I'm really looking forward to that. So you have to have that monitoring in addition to the reef construction. You need.
So you've got
right.
You've got the oysters,
right?
And then you've got all the little invertebrates and microorganisms that flock around this type of structure as well,
right?
And then you've got the small fish species that use that for cover and breeding and everything else to flow in and out of these structures. It gives them a little break out of the current. Behind some of the partitions in these reef balls. And as those fish are moving in and out of these reef balls, the predatory fish, the game fish, will come and eat those. They're attracted to all this activity that's going on around this structure, which is a structure that wasn't on the bay, on the bottom of the bay, originally. This is something brand new.
Yep, it's definitely something brand new, and at Cook Point, there were also a couple of man-made shell piles that were placed.
Right.
And then we enhanced that with the reef balls in the same area.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of, if you run over that area with your depth finder, you're going to have peaks and valleys and hills and lumps. And the MSSA Dorchester guys and some of the local charter boat captains down there have been having a lot of success with bottom fishing for croaker. But they've caught a couple of big black drum down there, and they've caught, I've gotten some reliable reports about some good striper fish and rockfish.
How deep are these reef balls at Cook Point?
They're in about 20 feet of water.
Uh-huh.
So enough, so they, you know, the range is probably 18 to 24 feet, 20 feet on average, and so the... So that's good for the oysters because they're getting enough oxygen and enough water flow through there.
Sure.
And they're not getting smothered, and they're getting enough oxygen at that water depth, but it's also deep enough where it's becoming a very productive fishing area too.
Right.
So
Well, let me ask this question. Is that contract job going to be posted for the bottom rig collector? To go to these sites and
the bottom rig collector.
Yeah, to collect all the bottom rigs. And do you have a market for used top and bottom rigs?
Yeah, there is. I know they do actually do that down in Florida, which has the country's largest artificial reef program is in Florida, and they do have volunteer dive teams that go down there and they collect. You know, hooks, sinkers, bottom rigs, all that kind of stuff.
That's pretty fun.
We don't have anything that organized here in Maryland, but we do have a few freelancers.
That could be a cottage industry, that's for sure.
Right. I think I've mentioned our friend Butch Webb, who used to dive.
Oh, yeah, Butch is a good guy.
In Indian River Inlet on the slack tide
for
half an hour and pick up lots of bucktails and bottom rigs off the rocks around the Indian River Inlet jetties.
That'll do it. Oh, my gosh.
You could definitely pick up some tackle down there, yes.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Eric, let me take our first break here today, and we'll be right back, so hold the line.
Okay, sure.
All right. Hey, feed your dog what dogs used to feed themselves. Merrick Backcountry, the ancestral diet with grain-free high-protein kibble and chunks of real freeze-dried raw meat. Now, Backcountry's made in the USA for dogs who love exploring it. That's right. Merrick Backcountry, they love the wild as much as you do. Our friends at Clyde Sports Shop asked me to talk about Browning firearms, so we will. If you need a Browning buck mark, for example, for home or personal protection, you can certainly take a look at that handgun at Clyde Sports Shop. If you're a hunter and you like the action of a pump-action shotgun, well, they've got the BPS pump shotgun as well. 12 and 10-gauge models are available. It features bottom ejection, and if you like the camo finish, it has the DuroTouch armor coating in Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity. Three Invector Plus choke tubes come with that. For shooting sports, there's a 725 Satori sporting clay shotgun. Perfect blend of beauty and performance. It's got all the features that you need or want for any type of shooting sports, which would be sporting clays or skeet or trap. And, of course, the BT99 trap gun is also great for that. And then the most reliable, fastest cycling, best performing, and softest shooting recoil operated auto loader on the planet is the A5. The hump is back. The A5 has a 100,000 round or 5-year guarantee. Perfect for waterfowl hunting. You might want to check that out. All at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. 410-242-6108. ClydeSports.com is the website. Let me tell you about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. That's right. If you like to fish, well, it's a great time to go fishing in Maryland. There's no strings attached to the Maryland Fishing Challenge. It's a statewide contest, tournament type of thing that's sponsored by the Department of Natural Resources Fishery Service, and it's for all recreational anglers in Maryland. 67 species ready to go in freshwater, in tidal, and in an Atlantic division, $25,000 in guaranteed cash prizes, which is what I want to talk to you about right now. In each of the regions, in non-tidal and Chesapeake Bay and Atlantic, that's freshwater, of course, tidal, saltwater, and the Atlantic coast, three regions, $6,000 is up for grabs in each of those regions. All you have to do is go fishing and catch a angler award-sized fish in any of those categories. Master anglers, if you catch an award-sized fish in each region, you're automatically entered to win $2,000 in cash, and $5,000 in random cash drawings will be given away at the Maryland Fishing Challenge finale event. You catch and keep invasive species of any size, and you qualify for a special prize drawing. And those are flathead catfish, blue catfish, and northern snakeheads, which, by the way, have now shown up north of Great Falls in the upper Potomac River, courtesy of the C&D Canal System. So there you go. Go fish. Anybody can win. The details are at dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries. The Maryland Fishing Challenge.
This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Start your day with Sean and Frank, Maryland's wake-up call. Weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
But I'll take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get about all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones. They're mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade by sitting in the shade. Whether it's hot, whether it's cool, whistling like a fool.
All right, we're with Eric Lukovich from the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, who takes care of the Fisheries Outreach and Artificial Reef Service. And, Eric, a lot of fish above the Bay Bridges this year, a lot of striped bass up there. And tell us a little bit about the Love Point Fish Reef.
Yeah, that Love Point project is a project that there was a lot of interest in constructing some more reefs above the Bay Bridge. And you're right, it's definitely been a really good area in general for rockfish, and this year it's really happening up there. So for about 4 or 5 years, I was getting a lot of interest from our artificial reef committee to do a project up there. And I think I did briefly mention it last time that it was going to happen, and it did happen. We actually built it in December of last year, right before Christmas. We placed 1,000 tons of natural boulder on the southeast, right on the southeast corner, the lower end of the reef on the eastern side. We placed 1,000 tons of natural boulder, and I'm getting good fishing reports from that area, and also from some of the older structure. There's two concrete piles nearby. When you're fishing Love Point Reef, you want to be in the southeast corner of the charted reef site. It's on the nautical charts. It's like a 50-acre square box, and it's about 1.3 nautical miles north of Love Point. And you just want to be in that southeast corner because that's the harder bottom, and that's where there's two concrete lumps and then the one rock lump that we built in December. And, you know, they're catching, you know, I'm getting some reliable reports that they're catching fish on the reef site and also all around the edges of it, too. So I think they're doing a little bit of chumming, a little bit of live lining and some jigging, and they're using a bunch of different methods up there. And that was definitely a good project. And, you know, there had been, like I said, a lot of guys talking about the Upper Bay for a few years, and I'm glad that we got that project in the water. And I was, I tell you, I was getting a ride with McLean. That reef was built by McLean Engineering. They're a really old marine construction company based out of Baltimore. And they were giving me a ride out to the reef from Sandy Point on their crew boat, and the lights on the bay were up. So that was a good time. As we headed back to the dock, we could see the lights on the bay at Sandy Point State Park. And one of the guys said, "Hey, the next time we do a reef job, can we do it in September?" And
that's pretty funny.
And not a week before Christmas.
Yeah, really. Yeah, yeah. That had to be just a little chilly out
right.
there.
It
that's
was a
for
little
sure.
bit chilly, but we did look out with the weather, and we had some a nice calm period there with light winds. The other nice thing about working in that time of the year is there isn't a lot of boat traffic, and that's also helpful because it can be a zoo, you know, during the summer. So
let me ask you this then. Guys in the Upper Bay may or may not know that Memorial Stadium rubble went in the Upper Bay
right.
to create a reef.
Exactly.
And it looks to me like you've added some reef balls to that project as well.
Right. You know, that project has actually been going on since about 2001.
Yep.
After the rubble was placed, MES and DNR added 20 or 30 reef balls to start a project. And then Bill Huppert from the Perry Hall chapter of MSSA got involved and started building his own reef balls and organizing school groups
right.
and other volunteers. And we've been adding anywhere from 100 to 200 reef balls every year. So we're now at about 2,000 reef balls on that site in a 3-acre area. And they're the smaller reef balls. We call them the low pros. They're about 1.5 feet high and 2 feet wide, so we could pack a lot of them in that area. And we did go up there with the Bay Foundation, which has been volunteering one one day every year to go up there and place reef balls.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got up there in May. We usually do
Tell our listeners where up there is.
It's about halfway between Hart Miller Island and Tolchester, and it's in about 14 feet of water, shallow, relatively shallow, but it is marked as an oyster reef, and it is on our website. We have a map of all the reef sites.
Okay.
Just go to Maryland DNR Artificial Reef Program or MARI, Maryland Artificial Reef Initiative. We have a map on there. So it's halfway between Tolchester and Hart Miller Island in the Upper Bay. It's a little bit north, actually, north of Baltimore.
Right.
It could be reached easily from either Rock Hall, Tolchester on the eastern shore, or on the western shore from like Back River, Middle River area, that area. So it's real popular with that Upper Bay crowd. Very good spot for perch fishing. They'll catch a few rockfish there. They catch channel catfish there in the early summer and the spring, and then in the fall they get a few bluefish up there. If it's a drought year, they do get a few bluefish up there.
Yeah, so. I'm hearing we've got some pretty decent bluefish in the bay this year.
Oh yeah, I have not gotten into them myself, but yeah, I'm hearing that there's some nice size ones, like five pounds, maybe even a little bit bigger, and you know, some pretty big schools of them breaking on the surface. Yeah,
and where are you hearing the reports? I mean,
well,
I know they move, but I know they move, but you know,
yeah. Pretty reliable sources, but they're coming from more down the bay. Like, they're out in the middle of the bay on the surface, and they're down off Poplar Island.
Right.
Maybe the lower end of Kent Island. Yeah.
I got it. Yeah.
So, right.
Cool. I'll tell you. I love fishing for bluefish. I really do. And, you know, that size right there is pretty good eating. I mean, you just, you know, you fillet them, and then you, and I've told the folks before, and I'll tell them again, I'm doing an aside here, Eric. When you catch bluefish, they are very, very edible, and they're good on the grill. What I would do, though, if you're going to fillet a fish that size, is go right down that lateral line, that line down the center of the fillet all the way down, and take that dark, just fillet that dark meat right off of there first thing. And then go ahead and grill them, or, you know, you can broil them, you can fry them, some of the best bluefish I've ever had have been chunked up and deep fried. And, you can make some good stuff out of them. They also make excellent, what they call cotties or fake crab cakes, you know, made out of bluefish. You can do all types of things with bluefish. The key is getting rid of that fat line down that dark meat down the center of the fillet. If you get that out of there first, you'll enjoy bluefish like you've never enjoyed bluefish. And that size that you're talking about is super for the grill.
Right. The smaller blues on the grill are awesome, but also smoked bluefish.
Oh, yes, smoked
bluefish.
That's
a delicacy. That's probably my favorite seafood item from the bay is smoked bluefish.
Smoked bluefish is excellent, excellent, excellent. No question about that. Yes,
yeah.
I forgot about that. So.
Yeah.
And people can smoke their own. I mean, if you get one of those little electric smokers or even one of the ones that use charcoal, it doesn't take much to smoke fish. So
right.
Just get a good recipe, and you can do a lot of stuff with it. So,
and I was going to say the bluefish will be cruising open water and breaking, and the rockfish will do that too. But we also actually have times when blues and rock establish sort of a residence around the reefs, or that they will hover around the reefs for a few days at a time, just feeding on all the bait fish that are attracted to the reef. And they'll be hovering sort of mid-water over the top of the reef or cruising around the edges. And we've caught them by blues and rock by anchoring up tight of the structure.
Right.
And then drifting baits like, you know, chunk menhaden back towards the structure.
Sure.
And catching blues and rock like that. And also now with live lining being popular, some guys are drifting over the reef and suspending a live bait a few feet off the bottom so it doesn't get hung up in the structure.
Right.
And then drifting that live spot right over the reef and catching fish like that.
Hmm.
So also artificial lures, bucktails and plastics and stuff like that.
I got to tell the folks, as far as the if you got a school of breaking bluefish on the top, there's nothing more exciting than that. But a lot of times the rockfish will be under them. If you can just, instead of catching a bluefish every cast, if you can just double up on the weight of your bucktail and cast out there and get down through the bluefish first, you might be able to hook up with a pretty nice-sized rockfish underneath those blues. And it's the same way with small breaking rock on top. If you find a school of breaking rock on top and you're catching sublegal fish, try to put a little heavier bait on there and get down through the small fish faster to the bottom, and then jig off the bottom, and you more than likely end up with a bigger fish. Because those big fish are lazy. They'll just lay under those little fish and let the little fish slash all the bait fish, and whatever floats down, that's what the big fish will be waiting for.
How's definitely that? That's where we used to catch the nice size sea trout too, underneath the breaking rock and down on the bottom.
Exactly.
Breaking rock and blues.
I'll tell you, I miss those days back in the 80s when we used to go down the Honga and catch those big 8-10 pound tide runner trout with Tommy Goody down there at the marina. I'll tell you, that was some tremendous fishing. Ounce and a half bucktail with a purple worm or red worm or and a piece of peeler on there. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Loving it.
Yep.
Yep.
We had that little resurgence around 99, 2000,
yep,
where there was a good fall trout jigging in deep water.
Yes,
too,
indeed.
For the medium-sized trout, yeah.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Right. Hey, Eric, we got to take a break. Hang in there. We're going to talk about the Tillman Reef and then the Taylor's Island Reef as well, coming up. So, folks, I hope you're keeping your notes here on where all these reefs are. And, of course, if you're not, it's all on the DNR website. Hey, Merrick Backcountry, the ancestral diet that dogs go wild for, with a mix of exotic proteins and chunks of real freeze-dried raw meat. Our grain-free recipes made in the USA offer the best nutrition for the dog whose appetite was never domesticated. Merrick Backcountry, they love the wild as much as you do. That's true. Let me tell you about, let's go from dog food to people food. We're going to talk about Schillinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn. Summer's the time for picnics and family get-together and camping trips, and summer's corn on the cob and steamed crabs and fresh tomatoes. And all that requires, a nice cucumber and onion salad, or it requires steamed corn or boiled corn on the cob. You will find some of the finest corn on the cob, the juiciest, most succulent tomatoes, the onions, the cucumbers, and everything you need for summer outings at Papa John's Farm. I'll tell you what, if you like good corn on the cob, I highly recommend their homegrown, super sweet corn right there at Papa John's Farm. And their tomatoes, too. You make a tomato sandwich or a tomato salad, you will absolutely love it. I was told to get some tomatoes in Crisfield the other day from a certain lady, and I got some, and they're good, no question. No question they're good tomatoes, but you know what? Can't beat Papa John's homegrown tomatoes. I can tell you that as a tomato aficionado, I love those tomatoes, and you will too. The corn, can't beat it. Super duper sweet, and butter and salt and pepper. Oh, my goodness. My mouth's watering right now. At their enormous produce barn, they have, their own corn and tomatoes, squash, zucchini, peppers, onions, green beans, cucumbers, cantaloupes, sweet watermelon, too. Best watermelons around. Papa John's Farm, located off I-97, exit 12, 8065 New Cut Road in Severn. That phone number, 410-969-8810. When you're having a family reunion, make sure you go to Papa John's Farm or call them and reserve, 12 dozen corn or whatever, 410-969-8810. Papa John's Farm in Severn, it'll grow on you. And right up the road is NBS Seafood, 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie, stocked with great Maryland crabs and fish and shrimp and scallops. And by the way, they shed their own soft crabs. And I will tell you what, they filter their own water. It's pure water that's filtered. They add their own salt, their own saline to it. They watch them. They're fresh. They're butter soft. They're super good. I'm making myself hungry with all this stuff that I'm talking about, and I hope I'm making you hungry, too, for the best soft crab sandwich you'll ever have. Make sure you stop by NBS Seafood, 1223 Dorsey Road, next to Jim Donnie RV, or call them at 410-271-3202, 271-3202, Thursday, Fridays, and Mondays, 2 to 7, Saturdays, 10 to 7, Sundays, noon to 5. Visa, MasterCard, EBT, and cash are all accepted. That number, again, for NBS Seafood right there on Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie is 410-271-3202. Soft crabs, deep fried, soft crab, sautéed in butter and salt and pepper, soft crabs, NBS, no bull stuff, seafood, 410-271-3202.
High pressure will result in dry weather starting off this weekend. Just a few clouds early, then some sunshine into the afternoon with a high to 89. Expect clear conditions tonight and a low down to 68. Tomorrow, we'll start off with sunshine, partly cloudy and warmer into the afternoon with a high near 91. Then scattered thunderstorms Monday with a high in the upper 80s. I'm Jeff Maher from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, for great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, head to Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle, Pasadena. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Stay connected. Listen on AM 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com.
New frequency detected.
That's Tommy James and the Shondells, isn't it? Yeah, I saw them in person. They're great. They're still around. Do you know that? Yeah, they are. Hit some great hits. When I was growing up, teenager, man, I mean, they were just... What do you mean super old? If they're super old, what's that make me? Bethany, you teenage twit. Old. I'm old. All right. Erica, do you feeling old this morning? Not as old as me, apparently.
Yeah.
All right. I still know how to have a good time, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Yes, where were we? We were talking about other reef sites, and I lost my notes here, but Tillman site. Tell us about the Tillman site.
Yeah, the two T sites, Tillman and Taylor's, those are the current or this year's projects. Right. Well, Tillman Reef is located about 1.5 miles just due west of Tillman Island off Pawpaw Cove. It's an older reef. It's popular with some of the charter boat guys and the private boat guys down there. If you remember Rudy Lukakovic,
Rudy's listening right now. I'm sure.
Okay,
Rudy did a lot of the catch.
We caught when we were doing those experiments, testing circle hooks,
yeah,
hooks. and looking at, you know, deep hooked fish versus shallow hooked
yes.
fish. There were a few days when we caught all of our sample fish off the Tillman Reef site and even on some of the old tire reefs, which are still out there, which we're no longer using.
Right.
There's still a few out there, and that was a spot where we could go and catch a few fish that were just hanging around the structure for Rudy's study with Keith Rupp and I think his father's also a charter boat captain.
Right.
So we actually had a donation of rubble. We call this materials of opportunity. And this is just rubble of all different sizes and shapes and slabs. And we had a woman, the green recycling manager at Benedictine School in Ridgely, called us up last fall and said, I've got, you know, these big chunks of concrete from a demolition project at the playground. And she's like, I don't want to just put it in a landfill. I was thinking we could do maybe an oyster reef or a fish reef out of it. And I said, okay, well, based on your location, maybe we can do something with our in-house DNR construction unit. They can pick it up. They can load it on their barge in Cambridge and then take it out the mouth of the chop tank and run up to the Tillman Reef. And that's what we ended up doing. So we got one barge load of about 70, 80 tons of concrete chunks. We deployed it with our DNR construction crew back on July 7th, right after the July 4th holiday. And it was a good, kind of a fun project. I'd like to do some more like that, you know, working with schools and other organizations.
Right.
And it went real smooth because we were able to do it with our in-house, you know, construction unit, and they've told me that they're interested in doing some more work like that in the future.
Cool. Very good.
That was a fun project, yeah.
Right. Now you talk about Taylor's Island.
Taylor's Island is a little bit further down the bay.
Oh, yeah.
It's a reef that is popular with the Cambridge crowd and the Dorchester guys.
Yep.
You can run out the river and south. It's just south of the mouth of Little Chop Tank River. And it's about a mile west of Taylor's Island.
I was at Taylor's Island this week. So
great.
Yep.
Yeah, and the Solomons guys are like this site too, and they run over, the charter boat captains and from the Solomons area run over to it. So
sure.
It has interest from both sides of the bay. It did not get any of the Woodrow Wilson rubble that when we did the Woodrow Wilson project back in 07 and 08, and it's been a little bit overlooked, but it has a lot of potential, so we wanted to eventually get back there. And we have several barge loads of donated concrete rubble from Dominion, from some demolition work that they're doing at Cove Point, and we've actually just deployed the first barge of rubble there a week ago, and the next load is going in there on Monday, weather permitting.
So, wow, nice.
Yeah, so that is actually happening right now. So we've got a few barge loads going there, and I'm hoping to be done with that by about mid-August or so.
Wow, cool.
So yeah, it's just a reef that. It's right on the edge, near the edge of the shipping channel, near the CP buoy, the Cove Point buoy. You know, I've heard about guys catching stripers and bluefish there.
Right.
Also, you know, I'm thinking it's going to be, it could be a good spot for croaker and other bottom fish, too. So a spot that we had talked about over the years, and we're just getting back to it now.
Beautiful, so, beautiful.
Yeah, it
sounds like we've got an in-depth article with all the stuff we've talked about coming up for the next spring issue of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, where we feature fishing. So yeah,
there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. So that would be great, and I would also like to talk about that the oyster project with these reef balls in the next 2016 issue of Maryland Loves Crabs. I think that's interesting stuff for people to read about. That's for sure. So
yeah.
So
well,
you're on my radar for that, brother.
Okay.
All right. Cool.
Okay.
Hey, I do need to mention we had a new state record caught this past week, or actually on June 23rd, within the past month or so. We've talked about winter flounder in the Upper Bay over the past couple of weeks, and a new state record winter flounder was caught off Ocean City aboard the charter boat Fishbound with Captain Kane Bounds, and 5-pound 2-ounce winter flounder. And he was fishing with a clam on one of the wrecks off of Ocean City. And I can't remember how deep water was, but it was pretty darn deep. 140 feet, 26 miles east of Ocean City, fishing one of the wrecks down there. The fellow's name is Kevin Twilley, and there's a picture on the DNR website. Interesting picture for the way he's holding the fish, but we'll leave that to the viewer's discretion on that when they go to the website and take a look. But we do have a new winter flounder record in Maryland, which is pretty cool. Thought I'd throw
really
that
cool.
out.
Yeah, I grew up fishing around Long Island and Montauk, and winter flounder were one of the top three species. The big ones, we actually used to call them snowshoes.
Right.
Just like you call a big summer flounder is a doormat.
A doormat, right.
Yeah, the big winter flounder, we called them snowshoes.
That's
and there
perfect.
Was a whole group of boats that targeted those big flounder, big winter flounder. And then in the bays, we fished for them in shallow water.
That's what I was familiar with, fishing them Delaware Bay. Yep.
We use corn and mussels and worms and soft baits and little hooks.
Yep, little tiny long shanked, like a number 10 hook.
Long shanked hooks. I think they were known as Chestertown hooks. Actually.
They might have been. But still market winter flounder hooks that have a little yellow bead at the top of the eye. So
And in the bay here, I know they used to catch them in fike nets and on hook and line around the Y River,
right,
the South River. And then if you read the old fishes of the Chesapeake Bay, there was definitely a lot of them being caught up off Kent County, somewhere in the Upper Bay.
Right.
Back in the 30s and 40s, I would say.
Sure.
And then that continued probably up through the 70s. And I'm really interested in the species and, I've been trying to figure out some of the areas where these fish were being caught because it's sort of a lost art.
When you find out, you let me know and I'll go with you. Or if you just want to go on an exploratory party, let's do that.
Exploratory fishing expedition.
Let's
definitely.
Do it. And I don't care what time of year.
Yep. They're going to be a cold weather fish. So
definitely.
Yeah.
Hang on there, Eric. We got to take a little break. Hey, Merrick Backcountry, for dogs whose taste buds are still wild, we add chunks of real freeze-dried raw meat to grain-free high-protein kibble made in the USA with no ingredients from China. Merrick Backcountry is the ancestral diet preferred by dogs who prefer the outdoors. Merrick Backcountry, they love the wild as much as you do. Let me tell you one more time about Clyde Sports Shop. If you need anything for fishing, for crabbing, or for hunting, Clyde Sport Shop is the place to be. They are 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. I was there yesterday, as a matter of fact. They got a full complement of firearms for hunting, for home protection, for personal protection. They can help you with the complicated handgun purchasing procedure. They've got all the fishing tackle. They were winding line on reels when I was there yesterday. They fix your rods and reels. They have a complete gunsmithing service. They have live bait, crabbing supplies, frozen bait, anything and everything you need if you're in any kind of outdoorsman here in Maryland. 410-242-6108 is the phone number. That fishing hotline is 247-FISH, 247-3474. Website, ClydesSports.com. You'll be glad you went there, that's for sure. Time for me to tell you one more time about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. It is a free fishing contest sponsored by the DNR Fishery Service for every recreational fishing angler in Maryland. 67 species of fish in a bunch of categories and $25,000 in cash up for grabs. You catch a fish of a notable size, you get the official angler award certificate, and you get an invitation to the grand finale in September. Read all about it on the Maryland DNR website at dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries. You will be glad you did.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with the nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. New location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Radio 680 WCPM.
Hey, we're back with Eric Slokovich from Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. Eric is in charge of the artificial reef program, and you've given us some great fishing tips today. And tell us, just to kind of wrap up here real quick, about the angler's log.
Right. The it's the volunteer survey. The volunteer logbook survey. We're now in our third year, and we recruit fishermen, anglers at all the fishing club meetings in February and March and April, and they sign up for the survey, and then we send out logbooks with a little kit with the measuring tape and data sheets and a clicker to help count your fish and that kind of thing. And then they go out to the reef sites, and I think we distributed about 60 kits this year.
Wow!
It's been a little bit bigger every year. We started with about 20, and now we're up to about 60. So we've had a lot of success on the Memorial Stadium Reef up there with the really
right
dedicated group of anglers, and we demonstrated that.